This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Welcome back to the Ross Report Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. I'm Lori Baranski. Today is November 30th, a Friday here at Gillette Stadium. We have PFW's Paul Perlow, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart giving us all the latest on the roster. Busy week, huh, guys?
It was a busy week, Lori. Thank you. Unlike previous weeks where we talked a lot about injury reports and practice squads, this week we have a couple big-name players involved in the transactions. First of all, Roosevelt Colvin left last week's game with the Eagles with a foot injury and has subsequently been placed on IR, so that was clearly a season-ending type injury. There was some confusion early in the week whether it was foot, whether it was arm. It's a foot injury. His season is over. He's on IR. Patriots bring in veteran linebacker Chad Brown for the who knows how many time, third time this year, but he's been here in the past, inside, outside, overwhelmed by opposing blockers. His career here has been a bit of an up-and-down story. And the other moves to go inside with that, Troy Brown, brought on the active roster, is now on the 53-man roster and eligible to play this week against the Ravens. To make room for Troy Brown, Kareem Brown. Big Brown week here in New England. Kareem Brown released from the active roster and actually acquired over waivers by the New York Jets. So the biggest issue we have this week, I guess, is the linebacker situation, because while Troy coming back, it'll be interesting to see where he fits in. The offense doesn't need any added weapons. The question here is, what takes place at linebacker? Does Adalis Thomas go to the outside? Do Seau and Ambruski play inside? Does Chad Brown play? Do any of the young guys, Pierre Woods on the outside or Eric Alexander, get into the rotation here at linebacker? Paul Perillo, start us off. Go.
Well, I think we're probably all three in agreement that it will be Thomas moving to the outside with Seau and Ambruski playing full-time inside with Vrabel, obviously, as the fourth. I think the question is, if they're going to do any kind of rotation, do they do it with the young guys involved, which would be Eric Alexander and Pierre Woods, or do they go with the veteran that they brought in, as you said, Andy, Chad Brown? My guess is that Chad Brown probably gets the first chance to get significant snaps. And if he can't handle it, then maybe they go to plan B with one of the younger guys. I just think Bill's preference for experience there will win out.
So you think there's an immediate effort, and I'll pose this to you, Tom, an immediate effort to keep some sort of rotation?
Oh, I don't know about that, but go ahead with Tom. You just put words in my mouth. I didn't like that.
Well, you said you were going to make it initially Chad Brown get the chance.
Okay.
Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it would be in their best interest to keep some kind of rotation because of the age of the linebackers. I agree with Paul that Chad Brown's going to get the first chance, but you said to see if he can get the job done. Well, I can give you the answer to that. No.
We've seen the answer to that on a number of different occasions over the last couple
of
years.
He's certainly not going to play inside linebacker unless Bill's throwing the season.
No. So, yeah, in all likelihood, Chad Brown will get an opportunity at some point to make some plays. Based on what we've seen, and again, this is not a shot at a guy who's had a long career, he's not going to be able to make those plays. So then you get down to, is Eric Alexander worthy on the inside? Is Pierre Woods worthy on the outside? Those two guys sort of took different approaches when asked about it this week. Eric Alexander said, I'm still backing up whoever's out there, whereas Pierre Woods said, ask Bill, and was told not to talk to
Bill
the media.
Bill told me not to say anything, which I thought was interesting.
A little bit of a different approach. But as we've talked about in the past on PFW Progress, I'm not sure what the ceiling is for either of those players, and I don't think the ceiling is starting player.
And I think what you're going to see is four-man line.
Could be.
Because that's where they have the depth.
Right.
That way, Seau and Ambruski rotate in the middle, keeping those guys fresh, and even throw Thomas in there every now and then, put Thomas and Vrabel on the outside. And, you know, hey, maybe a blessing in disguise, because as you said all along, Andy, that's where Thomas is most comfortable, is rushing the passer on the outside. So maybe there's a chance this defense gets even better.
I personally think so. I think, you know, you worry about the injury concerns with the older inside guys, but I think immediately this becomes more of a playmaking defense. I think I'd be scared to be Kyle Bowler and the Ravens, because you got it coming from both edges with two guys who are proven, durable playmakers in Vrabel and Thomas, and they're not one-dimensional. These are not pass rushers, just pure pass rushers. They can play the run. They can play the pass. They can bull rush you. They can try to beat you with athleticism. So I think initially this defense is better.
I absolutely agree with you guys. In the short term, if this was the playoffs, I think it would absolutely, unquestionably be a blessing in disguise. I'm a little concerned that there's still, you know, the regular season here to play. We still have December to go and then the playoffs. So there is time, you know, what's it, 8 games left, theoretically, if you're maxing it out.
Wow.
There's time to get worn down a little bit, and that does concern me slightly. But I think there's no question if I had one game to play, these are the four guys that would be on the field as much as possible if I had my choice.
And the feel-good story of the week, Troy Brown back on the roster. We all kind of talked about it would have been unfortunate maybe if he just sort of went away, was released, or put on IR. He's going to get a chance to do something. Belichick, Troy Brown, they've left it open. Offense, defense, special teams, who knows?
Go out like John Elway.
It could
be. Hoisting the Lombardi trophy.
And we all put it as a virtual lock that as the Patriots pursue the record for players scoring a touchdown, you can add Troy Brown to that list at some point because virtual guarantee Troy Brown will get a touchdown here. But I do think he has something left. If you get an injury to a Welker, an extra receiver, whatever it may be, I think Troy's got a little something left. And if nothing else, I think the teammates love him, and he's a nice...
It's a nice guy to have on the bench who can step
right
in at any point. And
anywhere.
Most teams, you know, you got a Moorhead, an Aaron Moorhead, like
right
in Indianapolis, a guy that they don't really trust. Here, you throw in Troy Brown. That's a nice luxury.
You need
to have
a 7-yard out to extend your season if you get into a dogfight. I have no problem putting Troy Brown out there and saying catch the ball.
Unless it's last year's AFC Championship game and he runs the wrong route.
Or the Brady throws the wrong route.
Brady throws in the wrong
direction. We'll see what goes there. But good news this week on some level. Troy Brown back. Some questions at linebacker. It'll be interesting to see how it unfolds in the coming weeks. Some of us here believe the defense got better because we're no longer wasting Adalis Thomas as an inside linebacker. But that's going to do it for the Roster Report. Back to Lori.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next Friday for a brand new Roster Report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.